For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
God will work a miracle in our heart, amen. And then he also make a way for us where there seems to be no way. Just ask God to strengthen you tonight by his spirit. Kaloma sandore abata. Lembro soto tokotore. Kandare ababala matoto. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. You are way maker, Lord. Way maker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness, Lord. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are, Lord. You're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. That is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Make a way in our lives. Work a miracle, Lord. Yes, Lord, keep your promises in our lives. Keep your promises, oh God, in our lives, in our lives, in our lives. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you. We bless you. Yes, Father, we exalt you forever. Amen and amen. Amen. So God works some miracles in our lives. Amen. All right. So what has Reverend been teaching us? He's been teaching us about the science of disloyalty. And Reverend is in Washington, D.C. And I know our brother Justin, too, is there. And I'm always amazed, you know, year after year, as their FQA system goes to Washington, D.C. to talk to the senators and all that and ask for money. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, maybe we should always also put, you know, homecoming into our program. Yes, year after year. We should also think about going for QFC homecoming and things like that. Because if year after year they go to Washington, D.C. and go to the Capitol to really go and ask for more funding for their company, and all the C-class people go, from the CEO to the CFO to the CMO to the any C-class, they all get themselves together and go to Washington to ask for money. Amen. I think that's a great thing, and we should also be factorizing, you know, homecoming and things. Yeah, year after year, we should also say, maybe in QFC we can also go. Amen. And Pastor Kobe and his wife, too, are also out today. I'm like, you people, you've left only me. I felt very offended, you know. I felt very, very, very offended. Now, look, all of you are gone. So, okay, at least Pastor Morris is here. So Pastor Kobe and his family, too, are out. I'm sure by the weekend they should be back. Amen. So we are here, isn't it? Hallelujah. So Reverend has been teaching us about signs of what? Disloyalty. Signs of disloyalty. When some of these things come up, then if we don't take care, we become disloyal. He taught us that people who disappoint you when they are under pressure, such people can easily become disloyal. People who have moral weaknesses, they can also become disloyal. He told us about people who have financial weakness. All right? Try not to steal. Okay? And especially God's money. Judas was what? A thief. The Bible clearly said he was a thief. So probably maybe as he was found out, he also got angry. He said, let me even go and sell Jesus and get some more money. these people, you know. So all these things, you know, can lead us to what? Disloyalty. And then when you're a Christian and you are worldly, and Reverend encourages that we should not what? Love the world, like the Bible says, neither the things that are in the world. Yes. And the things in the world are, they look fantastic, isn't it? I mean, it's so nice when you think about the worldly things and the fame and the riches and the things that you can easily just want to indulge. I'm not saying don't be rich. Don't come to church and say, hey, when we came, they say we should live an ascetic kind of life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the last of it, you give up everything, including kill somebody, just to make yourself, you know, or make sure that you sidetrack people, or even at work, you try to bring others down so that you become what? Great. All these things, we need to be what? Careful about it, all right? The Bible says that when we love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. There's no two ways. It says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So if you love the world, then it means that the love of the Father is not maybe in you, but it is not, absolutely not. If I say there is no something, it means that the thing is not there. All right? If you cook and you didn't put salt in it, and I say there's no salt in this food, it means there is no salt at all in that food. All right? So when we love the world, simple deduction, the love of the Father is not in us. Amen. And then he talked about Christians who think they can do what you are doing. Hey! Yes. And we get into that deception, isn't it? That I can preach better than my pastor. Why is my pastor the one preaching when I'm sitting down here? I have a feeling that I can preach better than him. Why is it that Sunday after Sunday is Reverend Fletcher who is preaching to us? I have a word. I feel anointed. I feel I'm a better preacher. Yes. Those things are all what? Signs. And Bishop and Reverend tells us the story of one of our pastors, you know, who thought that he was ready for the pulpit. And he was so anointed, nobody could preach like him. So, you know, in high school, most of the time and on campuses, we have campus pastors who come and preach to us. And they come and encourage us with the word of God and all that. So he was just praying that one of those days, may this campus pastor not appear. Yes, that was his prayer topic. Because he felt that he could really, really preach. So lo and behold, the day came. And the campus pastor did not come. And of course, being a leader, the lot fell on him. So he was excited. Today is today. And a great day is today. I need to show these people how so anointed I am. By the time I am done, if they call me Brother Evans, now they'll call me Pastor Evans because I'm too anointed. Amen. I'm just adding to the story. But that was his attitude, you get it? So he came, they invited him, he took the microphone, and then he began to preach, shouting, screaming, yes, yeah, pray. Then he preached, and he looked at the clock. 5 minutes. And he was done with the message. Hey. So he said, all right. He will just start all over again. So he took he went again, shouted, screaming, the Lord, the Lord. He looked at the clock again. 5 minutes. So it's 10 now. Hey, when is this time ever going to pass for him to be able to leave this pulpit? So he decided that he's going a third time. Then the people were like, nah. We've had enough of this, you preaching it over and over and over again. So they all rose up, booed him. Oh, no, 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 no. And he just had to have his tail in between his legs. And he went to sit down very quietly. So he learned his lesson and became humble. That it's not just, you know, that you are good at something. But sometimes God has called the person there to do what they are doing. Amen. So sometimes if you think, you know, like Absalom in 2 Samuel 15 verse 4, Absalom really thought that he could do what his father was doing. But what he didn't know is that the anointing oil that Saul poured, he did not pour on him, Absalom. The anointing oil was poured on David. So look at what he's saying. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land. Your father is there. Your father is a king. Your father also brings about justice. And then he's there saying that if I were made judge in the land, that every man, you are not even asking for some of them, but you want to be the judge, and then everybody in the land which has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I'll do him justice. How do you even know that the way you judge will be the right way? How do you even know? You get it? But because of that spirit, the spirit of Absalom, the spirit that fights fathers, the spirit that fights leaders, he just told himself that if this can happen, and because of that, he just went about winning the hearts of the people. Yes. Be very careful, you get it, when sometimes you meet very sweet-talking people. Yeah. They make everything, you know, it's like they are so great and awesome and some very nice kind of people. Let's be very careful of those kind of people, you get it. Usually there's always a plan B. Or there's a reason why they are behaving like that. Yes. And Absalom did that, and he won the hearts of the people. And then now he wanted to be king. But the end result was his death and execution. Yes, that was the end result. So don't think that, you know, you can do better. Yes, God has anointed the person. You know, when you see somebody doing something and doing it well, you have to have great respect for it. Extreme, great, great, great. Rather have an eye of admiration. Say, how is this person able to do this? You see, instead of rather criticizing in your heart, yeah, that what if it was me, I'll maybe sing it like that. Yeah. You know, one time when I started preaching, I always thought that before you preach, you have to sing. Because I've seen Benny Hinn do it all the time. So I'm like, before you preach, you've got to sing. So I've always, before the preaching, I'll be thinking about the song that I'll be singing. So one day, I was ready to preach. And in those times, the church, we used to have an outreach to some homeless people, you know, or they were in this shelter, actually. They were in this shelter, and then they used to come to church, and we used to minister to them and all that. So a group of them used to come to church, and we had quite a number of them in church. So that Wednesday, they were all sitting down there, and I was ready with my preaching and my song. And I came, and I think it's the song, "Oh Me Now and I Your," yes. So I went, I started singing the song. Yeah. When I was done, I had, I said, what? I've sung my song. You people are sitting down there and you are laughing at me. I had, you know that when you want to laugh and it's in church and you don't want to laugh, that thing. There were giggles. And then I went on to preach my message. I felt so discouraged. But I learned something. Yeah. When I see people sing, I'm like, wow. I have a heart of admiration for that. Yeah. So now I don't sing before I preach. Forget it. Just forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Amen. It's improved. Eesh. Yeah, be nice. And then the next one is people or Christians who are prepared to attack their own father or senior in ministry. Or even children who are prepared to attack their parents. Yes, we need to be careful about that. 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. This same Absalom. 2 Samuel 16, verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to his servant, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my own bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him." Oh, now when even Shammai was cursing David, he couldn't do anything because his own son, thinking that someone that has been raised in the ministry, someone that has been raised in this church, if there's anything at all, you should be a source of strength and you should bolster and encourage the work that your father is doing. Rather, he rose up and was fighting. So now, a father was even so weak that when someone was even cursing him, he said, "Look, just leave him." Yes. And sometimes a man of God becomes very weak because of the attacks. And there's a lot of attacks that are launched against men of God. Yes. And rather, like, you know, Paul was looking for, he said to his son Timothy, he says, "There's no one like-minded like you." That's the kind of sons that we are looking for. People who think like the father. And he was like, the way you think and the way you understand, there's nobody like you. And the way, because of that, the way you care for the sheep is even different. That is the kind of loyalty we are looking for. Not someone who rather help to, you know, discredit the man of God, or not someone who rather begin to say more things and make the man of God weak and weak and weak. Yeah. Recently, one pastor preached a message before he was ready to divorce his wife, you know. And he preached a message how hurts and wounds and offenses come to pastors. Yeah. And he shared his own life and open up about the difficulties and how his wife cheated on him and now he's cheated on the wife and all these kind of things. And he's just here to announce that he's getting divorced. And he preached about how other men of God suffer pain and difficulties in the ministry. It was a very touching message, very heart-wrenching message. And he talked about a man of God whose wife was sick. And when people heard that the man of God's wife was sick, they said, this is the man of God. He's trying to kill his wife. Yes. And Bishop talks about this man of God who, you know, he said, big fat man of God that he met. Or maybe I should use the word plump. Because recently, we were singing a song about fat, and someone got so upset. I'm like, but we are all chubby, maybe. it's a word that we shouldn't use, isn't it? We should use what? Heavy. All right. So this heavy man, heavy set, tough, whatever. All right. So this man, he had a beautiful wife, all right? And he introduced the wife to Bishop. So, and Bishop was like, wow, this big, heavy-set man with this his beautiful, cute wife. How did you get your wife? And he went on to tell the story how his wife died. And before his wife died, he told him that he should marry this one. The woman used to be their secretary. He said, marry her. And, you know, yes, his wife, the wife, sister, everybody was there. They heard. And he told the husband, this is the woman I want you to marry when I pass. So, of course, the wife passed. He waited 2 years. And afterwards, he felt in his spirit, just as his wife said, I should marry this woman. So he married the woman. Hey! Will you believe that the church people were angry and they started leaving the church? Yes! They were angry with their pastor. You've killed your wife, isn't it? And now you've gone to marry your church secretary. They left the church. The man said he cannot believe the wickedness in people. Because his wife was ill, 2 years, nothing. Waited another 2 years patiently. And now God has given him a new wife. And the church people were upset. Wow. People who are ready to fight and attack their pastors. So let's rather be what? Encouraging, amen, to our pastors and our shepherds and all that. Amen. And then the next point is church members who never recover from hurts. Church members who never recover from hurt. Bishop says, I observe closely all people who have been hurt by one event or the other. In normal church life, many things occur that can lead to hurt and offenses. I've discovered two types of people. One type recovers from the offense and moves ahead with his life. The other type seems to harbor some lingering unforgiveness. Watch these people. They are potential defectors. Says many rebels have been hurt before. Yes. So, you know, Sunday too, I mentioned what? Hurts and wounds and all that. And these things are real, all right? There are different kinds of, you know, wounds that you can get, isn't it, in life, even generally. We can get abrasive wounds or what we call scrapes and scratches. Those wounds, they don't go very deep. And it's more like, you know, like sometimes you meet people, you don't know them too well. They say something, you don't like what they said. You get a little hurt. But right then you can just put a little, you know, and then you just move on. And if you even look in the medical system, they have wound care. Wound care right now has become one of the big things. Yes, all by itself, wound care has become one of the big things, you see. So wounds and hurts and offenses and things, We really need to allow it to heal. So whether it's an abrasion or something little that happened to you like that, you've got to allow it to heal. Yes. If you don't allow this wound to heal, it can become something else. Yeah. And there are and other kinds of wounds. There are puncture wounds, isn't it? The wounds that we get when something punctures us. And sometimes you can get some of these wounds from people backbiting. Yes. When you are in church, try not to backbite and gossip about people. It's so painful when somebody hears some of the things that people say about them. And it's fantastic. And if you haven't heard it, sooner or later, one time you hear something. You would in a church. You will hear somebody say something about you and you'll be so shocked. If you don't take care, your very jaw will drop. Yes. They would usually accuse you or say the very opposite of what you are or what you are trying to do. You get it? So backbiting, stabbing, and all those things, they cause puncture wounds. And sometimes it can be very difficult to heal. But we need to allow all those wounds to heal. If we don't allow those wounds to heal, it can affect our relationship in church. It can affect our loyalty. It can affect the way we relate with the work of God. Amen. And then there are what? Lacerations, isn't it? Yes. Lacerations are the kind of wounds that the skin is actually torn. Yeah. Deep cuts. And with lacerations, sometimes, most of the time, you need stitches. And if it's not too deep and they can really, then they put that special thing there to make sure the thing comes together, the skin comes together and all that so that it heals. But still, whether it's a laceration, it's an abrasion, it's a puncture wound, whatever it is, it is your body that needs to heal the thing. You get it? So whether you put antibiotics in it to help, whether stitches are done to help, or whatever it is, the healing has to come from you. By all means. Yes, by all means. It has to come from you. And if the healing is not coming from you, that is where the problem lies. And as for lacerations, we will face some. In church, you will face some. Usually it comes with the tearing. Yeah. And as pastors say, do you know the lacerations that we face? Yeah. You've invested in people. You've loved them. You've cherished them. And then you are everything. And then you just tell them that, oh, maybe go and start a church. Something. When they leave, what be tithes? Pray that maybe there will be some, you know, something in their minds to cause them to remember you. Usually very few would really remember, you know, oh, Reverend, how are you? It's a long time. As soon as their feet like this leaves the door, that's it. It's like, shh. So sometimes you see that as a shepherd or whatever, you've invested in people, but they will just shh. Yeah. So lacerations are what? Real. You would face some of it. People that you've been good to, people that you've been nice to, people that you've helped, people that you've counseled, people that you've loved. One day you just realize that shh. And even when they are going and, that one, you don't even want to talk about it. You at least just go and leave things like that, you know. But when the person also goes and then the person also starts, nya, 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 you realize that, it's even more painful. Yeah. And then we have what? Bruises, isn't it? Bruises are usually caused by when that one, there's not an opening, but at least the blood vessels there are kind of destroyed. And you see that the place is a little what? Swollen. Yeah. And these are some of the things that you can also face in church right here. Today I'm encouraging you that these things would somehow happen to you. Yes. You'll be bruised. You'll be wounded. You'll be punctured. You'll be so many things you would face in the house of the Lord, you see. But you need to get healing. That is the bottom line of the whole thing. Get healing. Because if you don't get healing, you are going to be in big trouble. And then we have what? Ulcerations, isn't it? Like the ulcers and all that. And those ones are deadly. And usually they come with, you, most of the time, your life is at stake. Yes. When maybe you are diabetic, blood is not flowing to your legs too well and all that. Sooner or later, your feet, you see that you begin to develop ulcers there. The ulcers becomes bigger and bigger. Like Sunday, as I was sharing, that man of God, the ulcer became big, big, big. All his two legs became totally black with a huge wound. I mean, and he showed us a three-dimensional wound on his foot. And that was the last time we heard from him. He died. Yes. So ulcerations and things come, you know, sometimes it may be something little. But if you don't allow healing, the thing begins to fester and fester and fester and fester and fester until the whole thing rather kills you. And yeah, you'd be offended. Yeah. And most sicknesses and diseases are like that. I'm telling you, most sicknesses and diseases, sometimes the devil just needs a little opening to just come in with a little offense. And once you bite the bait, then he releases this thing. You realize that you can't forgive. Yeah. By the time you realize, he's released his arrows. And then the demons will begin to act, you know. And by the time you realize, that thing has killed you. Yeah. I saw it in my own mother. And I was very terrified. Yeah. When she started, one of my cousins used to really disturb her. Sent her text messages, sent her so many things, and then she will keep it. One day she sent it all to me as I was reading. I'm like, just delete these messages. Just delete these messages. Don't even allow this message to even go eat into you. You know, but she kept allowing the thing to eat into her and eat into her and eat into her and eat into her. You get it? And then the girl will sometimes curse her, may something or something this, and I'm like, you are allowing this to affect you. But you know, she said, "Your own, I mean, how am I going to rebuke? What am I going to do?" You get it? But I just saw the thing, and I knew in my heart that that is one of the root causes of her death. That sure sign, not that I'm deceived or sure sign. Just there. Thing of somebody doing something to you and the thing eating you up opens doors. The devil comes in and tries to rather kill you the individual. Yes. So let's be careful. All right. And then the final wounds are incisions. All right. Incisions, sometimes we cause them. Self-inflicted. Yeah. Decisions. Was this lady, Reverend used to tell her, in fact, the day she wanted to marry somebody, Reverend was like, this person, be careful. Then when Reverend called the person's mother says, hey, the way Reverend said it, she's getting diarrhea and so many, many things. What can you do if the lady's mother says she's getting diarrhea because of your phone call? You just say, okay, just let her marry whoever it is. Go ahead and marry whoever it is. So she went ahead and has married a guy. The guy, I've never seen such a person in my life. I'm telling you, I've met men, but I have a feeling that he's even not well. Yeah. He says the girl's mother is a witch. He wrote me some long message. I should be careful of that woman. I should try not to talk to her. The woman is a witch. The girl's mother slept with her daughter. I mean, crazy things. You are talking about crazy? Crazy. Now the guy has lost his job. They don't have anywhere to stay. Their life is in difficulty. Self-inflicted wounds. Yes. And sometimes we are good at it. When you are being told, no, they don't like me. They don't want me to marry. They don't want me to be happy. They don't want me to do this. Da-da-da-da-da. Then you go that way. And now, trouble. And some of the incisions are necessary, like the ones the doctors cut to remove tumors and things and all those things. Those ones are very important. And sometimes you yourself, you need to do it in your life. It may hurt, it may be difficult, but you need to do it in your life. When you are with somebody who is always discouraging you, it's not building you up, then you are in a relationship, the guy is being mean to you, the lady is being mean to you, then you tell yourself, oh, the person will change. Reverend, you know he'll change. He's going to be nice again. And then the person will do this, then you break up, then you come back, then you break up, then you come back, then you break up, then you come back. I know, I did not. Then later, you take it into the mind, then you see that the whole marriage is chaotic. Yeah. But such a person, already even the way the person talks to you and does the thing, you should just tell yourself that, you know what? You should do the cutting. It may hurt, but just like the doctor, he goes in there, gives the incision, removes the whatever is creating the pain, sews it up. After some time, hey, the wound heals. Oh, yes. The wound heals. The wound heals. I'm telling you, you cannot say that, oh, this some friendships and so many. There are certain things that you have to just cut it. Cut it. Yes. You have to wound your own self in order to receive more healing. Yeah. And it's very important. It's very important, you know. I remember, you know, growing up, not like here that school buses pick you and all that. So I had my very best friend. She used to live right down our street. So when she's coming, then she gets to my gate. Then I also take my school, you know, and then we all walk. And we walk to school. David, you guys used to get buses and all that. Yeah, there are no buses. You walk to school. So we walk to school and all that. And we also get to choose the high school that we go to. Not like here that wherever you live, you have to go to the high school there. So we went to different high schools and all that. But as we went to a different high school, I began to hear rumors, you know, of the things that she was involved in, that she's doing this, she's gone into boys and so many things. So when we finished, and we don't come home till our long vacation. That's a real time. 3 months freedom. So when we finished and we came back, and then I heard all those things, then I saw her lifestyle and things. Even though she was my best friend growing up, primary school growing up, I advised myself. I said, hey, if I really want to become a serious woman of God and a serious girl, if just being with her is not going to help me, then I need to cut, give myself the incision, and do the surgery. Yeah. And I did that. Difficult as it was, but it helped me. It helped me as a young girl to stay on the right course. Because by the time you realize some of your friends, as you follow them, Michael, you go and friend somebody, by the time you realize you've changed. Yeah. So friends are very important. You can't just say that, you know, Sometimes you have to wound your own self in order to receive real healing in your life. Amen. Did we understand the simple message? All right. Ah, the clock hears. Yeah, I think we have to set it because I was using that one. All right. Okay. Let's take our offering. All right.